Spirit Husband, Chapter 3, Meeting Under the Chupa. Not long after arriving at his house, Wesley cleaned up and went to bed and drifted off to sleep. He dreamed he was in a high-ceilinged church with stained glass windows, shiny wooden floors, and no pews. In the center of the room was a huge round white tent. The canopy almost touched the ceiling of the chamber. While it had support poles and a canopy top, there weren't any side walls to the tent. There were huge, colorful bouquets of vibrant flowers and flamboyant streamers attached to and draping off the top of the canopy. Suddenly, Jesus stepped directly out of one of the largest and centrally located stained glass windows, leaving only his silhouette. Jesus then floated down majestically and walked up to Wesley, who was standing, dumbfounded, staring at his master. Wesley blinked and asked, "What's the canopy for, Jesus?" "It's a wedding tent." "Who's getting married?" "Who do you think, Wesley?" "I don't know." Jesus laughed. "You'll figure it out, my dear Prince Wesley. Goes well with the crown and party gown you're wearing." "Oh, yeah, I guess I was so surprised by your grand entrance that I didn't notice." Jesus smiled. Jesus was a rather plain fellow, but when he smiled, the room lit. Well, not really, but the joy on his face was very warm and charming. Jesus' robe did light the room. It was radiant. Depending on which way Jesus turned his head, sometimes there were reddish bronze highlights in his sandy chestnut brown hair. By the time Jesus had stopped walking, his hair was mostly sandy in coloration, with more prominent reddish bronze highlights. "He looks more like Akian's paintings than any other representations I've seen," thought Wesley. "But his expressions are exactly like those used by the Bruce Marciano Jesus. He's not black. He's definitely not the Scandinavian-looking guy who is the illegitimate son of a pope, Borgia. His skin is deeply tanned, though," thought Wesley. "I am here to keep my promise." "Which one, Lord?" I asked. "Do you remember the vision I gave you about the two oxen?" "Yes, I forgot about that. Not the promise. I forgot about the vision of Farmer Jesus and his pair of oxen, also known as Ruby the Rebellious Red Heifer." "I should have made the connection when I had coffee with Willow," groused Wesley to himself. Wesley quickly replayed details of the vision. Farmer Jesus had put an ox yoke on a young heifer ox and an older male ox and had begun slowly teaching them how to haul wagons and plow fields. It had been a long, hard training. They spent weeks just walking around the field and never hooked up to a plow or a wagon. Training a new green ox was always hard, but this was especially rough as the female ox, a red heifer, kicked, bellowed, slashed with her horns, and threw herself about, wildly fighting the yoke for months. "Ah, I can see you do remember, Wesley," said Jesus. He added, "Very good. I know you have been waiting for 3 decades, but you are going to have to be patient. I just dropped the yoke on you both today. She's not going to be thrilled when she finds out." Wesley asked, "What is she like, Jesus?" "You are well matched in gifts, areas of knowledge, and personality, so she will really like you. It's not you, of course, that she's going to fight. It's the fact that I just betrothed you to today in McDonald's. That's the part she's not going to like. You are married, but without full rights and privileges, like an old-fashioned Jewish wedding. Unlike the old Jewish wedding, I am playing the part of the father. Also, unlike the old Jewish betrothal wedding, I didn't offer her a cup of wine that she could refuse so she could end the betrothal before it started. That is going to be the decisive factor for her and many Christians. She, because she's very independent, and though she doesn't like to admit it, quite confused spiritually and downright rebellious, will not be pleased about this arrangement at all." "I like her, Jesus, but this doesn't sound easy." Jesus replied, Do you remember when I told you that no one else will be able to put up with her long enough to marry her, but that you will be able to put up with her? Yes, there's your answer, Wesley. You will have to keep in mind, Wesley, that it won't be just Willow who will not be happy. Other Christians will say, Jesus doesn't do things this way. She wasn't offered the wine, so the betrothal doesn't count. Or, you are living in sin, because the covenant that you made with me and each other isn't real or not legally binding. It only counts if you get permission from the government and then have a ceremony before the justice of the peace or from a minister in a traditional building. I do have a just and holy nature, Wesley, and free will is very important to me. But as you have found, I can't be put in a box, and I am apt to do the unexpected, especially around religious, pharisaical leaders. And many people around you, Wesley, are not Jewish and technically can't be Pharisees, but there are many religious Christians in the church today in America, whether in traditional buildings or in living rooms, who have my book memorized but don't know me or truly understand my teachings. Jesus paused in his long monologue and clapped his hands. Suddenly, the room was filled with guests. Following a blazing flash of light, Willow appeared, a pace away, and immediately stepped forward to greet them. Her brown eyes sparkled as she concentrated on Jesus. She was wearing a white gown and an ebony crown. Willow never just walked. She always glided or moved her hands while speaking with smooth and graceful movements, except when she was tense. Willow had never practiced moving this way and had never really thought about it. Willow ran her short-nailed fingers along her gown near her waist. The gown was smooth as silk and rippled with a strange mother-of-pearl lighting effect as Willow softly ran her hand over it. Nice party, Jesus, said Willow. I especially like the circus tent top. It kind of reminds me of a nice family reunion. The vibrant flowers are lovely, and the fragrances are literally taking my breath away. And thanks, Jesus, for the special party clothes. Feeling the weight, she pulled a crown from off her ponytail brunette hair. What is this? She asked, puzzled. You don't know? Asked Jesus. No, I don't. By the way, Jesus, I love your hairstyle and your white robe. I kind of remember you looking a bit like a pale Scandinavian, but I see you've been getting some sun. Sun, if you don't burn, is actually very healthy for you. Soak in that vitamin D whenever you can, Jesus. Your robe is kind of bright. And a bit hard on the eyes, though. My gown shimmers, but your robe is bright as a beacon. The gray sports coat that you have draped over the top of it is a bit avant-garde, but I like it. Wesley! What are you doing here? I didn't recognize you. I see you are wearing special party clothes, too. Yes, Will, replied Wesley with a nod. I am as surprised as you are at appearing here. I am wearing an ebony crown and a shimmering gown, too. But the styles are different. Must be a gender-appropriate or a his-and-hers motif. Thank you, Captain Obvious, replied Willow, as she delicately, in an almost bird-like manner, cocked her head at an angle and raised one eyebrow. Jesus replied to Willow's original question following her snarky comment. Thank you, Willow, said Jesus. I like the new look, too, as far as the clothing. This is how I really look as far as my facial features and hairstyle. My hair fades to a very light chestnut color with reddish bronze and blonde highlights if I walk around in bright sunlight for a few days with my head uncovered. The Jesus you met once with the really long, bright blonde hair and sky blue eyes is a Nordic Jesus. We are two totally different entities. This is the real me, Willow. This is what I look like. And the crown is a marriage crown. And you are no longer Willow. You are Princess Willow. I am glad that you have met your husband, Wesley, for the second time today." Willow, startled by Jesus having said that Wesley was now her husband, quickly forgot her questions about there being more than one Jesus. As her mouth popped open, shock and confusion replaced the happy expression that had previously marked her fine features. Willow mentally switched gears, popping the clutch a few times before completing the transition. Willow stammered momentarily and then exclaimed, Jesus, no, you are mistaken. I just met Wesley today. Yes, I like him, and I have the feeling that if I get to know him, I will really like him. He isn't GQ material by any means, and that is putting it delicately. God, no, but I think he's a really nice guy and has great character. In case you have forgotten, I vowed to you a few months ago never to take a husband so that I would be free to serve you. About that, my dear Willow, princess of my heart. That was not me. That was New Age Jesus Sunanda of the Galactic Federation of Light. He's more powerful, famous, and long-lived than the other riffraff who throw their hat in the ring for a chance to compete for the privilege to trick people into thinking they are me. Sunanda is a fake Jesus. He had an ulterior motive for meeting you. They discovered my plan to marry you to Wesley, and they deduced that I have a plot for which I intend to utilize you both. When Wesley was born, the Dark Prince of America appeared before me when I was at the Heavenly Embassy and demanded an audience. I gave it. He said that the Dark Prophetic Arts told them that both of you have a destiny in my service that would be bad for them. He challenged me to a duel, not the knightly kind, but like when Satan came before us concerning Job. Except that the Prince of America promised that whatever scheme I had planned, they were going to checkmate it by not allowing Wesley to marry anyone, especially Willow. That, by the way, was the meaning behind your dreams when you were 4, of the devil and myself playing chess, Wesley Thaddeus O'Connell, and why the class of 1980 gave you the traditional graduation prophecy of Wesley will make the world's greatest father, but no woman on earth will ever want him. That year, there just happened to be a Satanist who was one of the unofficial advisors for the group chosen to write the class prophecies, and so their dark prophecy for you, Wesley, was easily inserted under your name. Yes, Prince Wesley and Princess Willow, the Dark Kingdom and my kingdom have been at war ages and ages. I am Jesus Christ, the real Jesus Christ. The imposter you met through the bobblehead Jesus group, Princess Willow, is Jesus Sunanda. He is at the top of the list as far as my unsanctioned clones, and has a global and even interplanetary presence. Believe me, Princess Willow, he is an imposter. He is not me. We are nothing alike. So the vow doesn't count, Willow. Under the authority of my name, I cancel that vow and release you from it, Willow dear. One of the first things you will have to prove to me is that you are willing to serve me as Lord. The first vow I want you to make, Willow, is that you will honor your husband, Prince Wesley. Lord, I said no! Wesley is not my husband. He is just my new friend. And if you weren't trying to ruin this for me, Jesus, I think he could be my best guy friend ever. And without all those ugly friends with benefits strings. I hate those. They are so annoying. And I'd really like to pick your brain about the multiple Jesus thing. My head is a bit addled right now, though. I don't even want to think about it, but we need to get something straight, dark-haired Jesus. I am not married to Wesley. We will never marry. He is not even my boyfriend. Jesus turned to me. Wesley, meet Willow again. For the second time today, your new wife that I promised you 30 years ago. Like I said, you'll have to be patient. She's not exactly thrilled. By the way, Wesley, I need you to agree to our three-way covenant. Wesley, Do you solemnly swear to honor Willow as your wife, in sickness and in health, rich or poor, in good times and bad times, even if she never agrees to honor you as a husband?" Wesley replied, I guess. I do really like her, even though she is a bit eccentric." "Thank you so very much, my dearest Prince Wesley," commented Willow sarcastically. "Yes," replied Jesus with a warm chuckle, "you are matched grays. And even though your ages differ, and you were much less resistant to my lordship than Willow, you are both eccentric, are similar in personality, have some of the same interests, and have studied some of the same esoteric studies, but from different angles." "You want me to make a covenant with you concerning Willow?" asked Wesley again. "Yes, Wesley, do you solemnly swear to honor Willow as your wife, in sickness and in health, rich or poor, in good times and bad times, even if she never agrees to honor you as a husband?" "Yes, Lord Jesus, I promise." "Are you sure?" asked Jesus. "I don't really have a choice. Yes, my answer is yes." "Good answer," said Jesus. "You always have a choice, Wesley, but it is not really a choice in the sense that if I am your Lord, unless you want to rebel against me, I expect you to honor me by your obedience. You have the option to disobey, of course, but you will go on a detour and end up giving in anyway. Circumstances will arise that you do not like. Or, if you never give in, it will definitely affect our relationship, and not for the best. In other words, all is not necessarily lost, but it will not end well." Jesus paused, turned back to Willow, and asked, "Are you ready to make your covenant, Princess Willow?"
"Lord, I said no!
Wesley is my friend. He is not and shall never be my husband." "Is that your final answer?" Princess Willow turned to me. "Sorry, Wesley, I don't mean to burst your bubble. While I am more than willing to be your friend, you are not my husband." Willow turned back to Jesus. "Yes, Jesus, I know you are Lord of the universe and all that, but I think you are pushing the envelope here a bit." With a stamp of her foot, she added, "And no, Jesus, I am not ready to make the marriage covenant with Wesley." "I am sorry to hear that, Willow. I guess then, Willow, that you are Lord of your own life, and I am not. In that case, let the detour begin. Before you go, Willow, I will be visiting you again in the near future. It should not come as a surprise, but under the circumstances, Willow, I must inform you that the terms of our covenant must be changed, since you were not ready today to make your vows with Wesley in front of me under the grand chupa I have prepared and lavishly decorated in your honor. If you decide to honor the covenant in the future, Willow, you and your charming new husband, Prince Wesley, will have to make those arrangements yourself. As I said, Willow, the terms for entering your covenant with me concerning Wesley will be much more challenging after this. In most ways, I will only require you to be an average wife for Wesley, but in a few ways, I will expect you to be better than a good wife. As much as I love you, Willow, my dear, you will have to repent of your independence and rebellious tendencies. Is that clear, Willow?"
"Oh, it is clear, all right, Jesus. Whichever Jesus you are. It is clear that the vegan rice and soy casserole I ate tonight was in my fridge just a wee bit too long. This has been an interesting little dream, Jesus number..." She curtsied to Wesley, "And last but not least, my dear Wesley, I am charmed, but I think I'd like to wake up now." Jesus clapped his hands. Everyone disappeared. Wesley appeared back in his bed.